In a 1962 article, Chomsky wrote that those with knowledge and influence must use their intellect to challenge falsehoods and reveal the truth. Intellectuals, whether scholars, journalists, or thinkers, have a duty to question power structures and educate the public. Silence in the face of deception allows misinformation to spread. Intellectuals are in a position to expose lies of governments. In the Western world, intellectuals have the power coming from political liberty, access to information, and freedom of expression. They can unravel the truth from the veil of falsehood, deception, and class under which the present is depicted. The responsibility of the intellectual is far greater than the common man lacking the facilities and leisure to delve into questions of truth and lies. We can hardly ask ourselves to what extent the American people bear responsibility for the savage assault on a rural Vietnamese people and the Israel inflictions upon the hapless, unarmed population of Gaza. Not only is the Israel assault overwhelming but indiscriminate and genocidal. The real paddock viewpoint of U.S. intellectuals is reflected in the suggestion of Yale University's Professor Rowe that with a view to quell communist threat in Vietnam and other South Asian countries, all the surplus wheat of Canada and the U.S. be buried in order to cause starvation in China, not as a weapon of extermination of people, which it will result in, but as a weapon against government, as the internal stability of the country cannot be maintained in the face of general starvation. Rowe has no qualms of moralism, leading one to the conclusion that this policy is the same as apologetic of Nazi Germany. It is easy for the American intellectual to deliver homilies on the virtues of liberty and freedom, but if he is really concerned about, say, Chinese totalitarianism, or the burdens imposed on the peasantry in forced industrialization, he should undertake a task that is infinitely more significant and challenging, the task of creating, in the U.S., the intellectual and moral climate, as well as the social and economic conditions that would permit the U.S. to participate in modernization and development in poor countries, in a way commensurate with its material wealth and technical capacity. Massive capital gifts to Cuba and China in 1950s might not succeed in alleviating the authoritarianism and terror that tend to accompany early stages of capital accumulation, but they are far more likely to have this effect than lectures on democratic values. Discourses on the two-party system or other democratic values that have been realized in the West are a monstrous irrelevance in the face of the effort that is required to raise the level of culture in Western society to the point where it can provide a social lever for both economic development and development of true democratic institutions in the Third World.